Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Here's San Francisco and the incomparable forward, Rick Barry.
From behind the end line, they put him again, and it's Barry.
And now Rick Barry, the league's leading scorer. What a superb basketball player he is.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Warriors 24 with your host. That's right. That's me, the old fart himself, Rick Barry, and my young cohort, the surfing king, Cyrus Satsis, and I'm still working on trying to get Brent for you, so we'll see if he can go ahead and do some surfing with you sometime.
All right, sounds good. And relatively young, Rick, relatively young, and thank you for that.
You're a baby. I got a fistful of kids older than you.
Maybe, but I wouldn't say you're old either, Rick.
I am old, but it's okay. I don't feel old. That's okay. I mean, old is good. I mean, I want to get really old. As I say, I'm going to be 100 years old and go fly fishing in Alaska. That's my golden life, as I told you. So, but anyway, a lot of different things going on. I feel as though I'm watching MASH.
Oh,
you know, when I'm watching the NBA with all of the injuries that are taking place. It's crazy. Every time you turn it around, somebody else is hurt. Gordon's going out with the Rockets and he's going to be out for 6 weeks. And Davis is not going to be ready for the game against the Warriors because he got hit in the ribs. And I mean, every time you turn around, somebody else is getting some type of an injury. And then, of course, we have the wonderful they even had another name for it on one of these things here, the injury rest or whatever the heck it is.
Load management.
Load management is one of them, but they used another terminology. I don't know, whatever it is, which we've discussed a little bit. I mean, I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the investment they have in the players, but I guess the players don't have anything to say about it, do they? Maybe it's almost now like the team and management is making the decision as to whether or not they want to play somebody and rest them. I know that I would not be happy about that. I mean, if I didn't have some injury and needed some serious rest for some reason, the fact that I'm not going to get to play, I'd be terribly disappointed.
Right.
It's a different mindset that exists today with this. But there's a tremendous amount of money on the line. But here's the deal. As a player, what do I have a guaranteed contract for 5 years or 4 years or whatever it is, right? I want to play.
Well, LeBron doesn't subscribe to that. I do respect him. That's one of the few players who wants to play every night. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, and he's goes out there and gets it done. When it's like Kobe, same way.
Yeah.
You want to put that uniform on and you want to go out and you want to compete because that's your passion. That's your love. And I don't know. Anyway, it is what it is. We're going to have to learn to deal with it. But I get into seriously, they have to do something about it. Never, ever, ever should a player be allowed to go into this load management or whatever the heck the deal is. in a road game.
Yeah.
Especially a road game in the other conference. Should not be allowed unless there's an injury or something of that nature. Look at the schedule. You can figure it out. And let's make sure that we have it. So it's a disservice to the fans who are paying big money. You have a team from the West coming into the East only one time during the season. And to have their star player be out because of this load management nonsense is wrong. It's totally wrong, unfair to the fans. And the fans should get up in arms about it. And the NBA should not allow it to happen.
And the most prominent case of this is Kawhi Leonard. So you're saying Kawhi should suck it up and play back-to-backs?
I'm saying that what you do is here's the deal. If they're back east and they have to do a back-to-back, mm-hmm. you got to suck it up.
I agree. I'm with you.
I mean, you got to suck it up. I mean, he's only going to be there once. He's one of the elite players in the game. The fans pay a lot of money for their tickets. They're hoping to get a chance to see him in person, and they're denied that opportunity for load management, not an injury. I mean, seriously, that's BS.
I agree.
And so they can do that. They can say, this is the way it is. You can't rest a guy. If it happens to be back-to-back out on the road in the other conference, you can't do it. Now, if they're going to play another team two or three times, but even then, I still think it's a situation that if it's going to happen, it should happen at home. And look at the schedule. You can figure out what your schedule is like, see where it is, figure out the games that you're going to do it. And even then, you should make an announcement which games load management is going to take place as far in advance as possible. And they should come up with a reasonable amount of time for that, whether it's a month or whatever. You see the schedule. Unless something happens where there is an injury and some other outside occurrence takes place, that you should be able to notify your fans locally, because those who don't have season tickets or are buying a ticket to go to the game, if they want to see the star player of that team, they're going to spend good money to do it. Well, all of a sudden you show at the game, well, he's not playing tonight, load management. You wouldn't have bought the ticket.
Right. Right, because a TV audience.
Protect the fans.
I'm with you.
Let these people who are spending good money, there wouldn't be a league if it wasn't for the fans. They should be protected and given every consideration imaginable. And they can come up with a formula that can make that happen and work. And without that, and just indiscriminately picking out games that you're going to decide to do this load management stuff, I think is wrong.
I agree. How you know, Rick, you're one of the greatest players who have ever played this game. You obviously have a tremendous connection still in the NBA. How often do players fake injuries to sit it out? Is that a regular thing?
I've never seen it happen.
Okay.
Not for me personally and on a team that I was on that somebody wanted to do it. We all wanted to play. I mean, I don't think somebody – why do that? Here's the deal. If I needed rest, I asked the coach to let me not practice. not take a day off from a game. Let me take a day off of practice. There's my rest.
So in your opinion, do you think Kawhi Leonard is that hurt, or do you think this is just a precautionary thing?
I think it's a precautionary thing, and they want to make sure they're protecting their investment. But I'm saying there's a way to go about it, do it to make it fair to the fans. Give consideration to your fan base. Without your fan base, you have no league.
Right.
Professional sports doesn't exist if it's not for the fans. Correct?
Absolutely. And Rick, the fact that you're saying that adds that much more cachet and emphasis to it, because, again, you're a former player, and I love hearing that from you. That you're right. The fans, I mean, there is no – you're just playing on a blacktop if there are no fans.
Hey, I thank God every night when I play for the fans. If it wasn't for the fans, I wouldn't have had the life that I had. I wouldn't have been able to go and play the game that I love and get paid to do it. And so give some consideration to them. I think the things that I just brought up previously are things that need to be given serious consideration by the NBA. But the list is that a star player going on a road to a road game, especially interconference, the Eastern Western, should not be allowed to get one of those days off when he goes out on the road when he's only going to be there one time.
You know, this injury, talking about injuries, the Warriors have been hit very hard with this injury bug. I feel like it started in the postseason last year, continuing on today. We had someone tweet at us. The official Twitter account for this podcast is Warriors24Pod, and you can always reach us there, or you can follow Rick24Barry, myself, Dog Surf Roadshow. But one person tweeted at us that asked, when should we consider sacking the medical staff of the Warriors? Seems harsh. But there's a lot of injuries.
No, it is harsh. Come on. The medical staff has nothing to do with guys getting injuries. Let me tell you, the sophistication of what these guys do, their joints to protect the knee, all of the things that they do, the stretching, it's so far beyond anything that I ever imagined in my life. I never experienced anything like it. As I told people before, I would be faster, stronger, quicker, more endurance, and jump higher. I'd be so much better a player physically because of what they provide for the players today. And to say and go out on the limb and say something that it's the staff that's causing the issues, that's a crock. It's what happens. I mean, it's ridiculous to even come up with a statement like that. There is no way that they're going to try to jeopardize their livelihood and cause a situation to occur where they would hurt the team by getting players to go out and trying to force them back. Most of the time, it's a situation where a player really wants to play and the player wants to come back.
Yeah,
maybe sooner than he should. And a lot of times they have to step up and say, no, you're not ready. I mean, seriously. I mean, they take that very seriously.
Yeah, I think prior to the Kevin Durant injury, the medical staff was not really brought to light. Like, there wasn't much attention on them. But then the Durant thing raised some questions. I mean, he was greenlit to play. I mean, you know, the medical staff cleared him. They said there was no risk. And then he went out there and tore his Achilles. And then I guess the other thing that raises some attention with this is the fact that over the last 2 years, the Warriors medical staff has had a complete 100% turnover. And I don't know why that is. But since then, you know, I am seeing a rash of injuries that this team really didn't experience. But and again, you're just saying it's a fluke thing. I can't say otherwise, but it does raise some questions, right? You can understand why some fans are a little concerned.
Well, yeah, you can be concerned. But if that's the case, then there would have been even more of it in the past. I mean, they're so much more advanced as far as the technology and the training and everything today than they were in the past. And yet the players are getting hurt doing things. I mean, it's just that they're so incredibly athletic. They jump so much higher. You're coming down from 3.5 feet as opposed to 2.5 feet.
Right.
I mean, so you're going to take a little bit more pounding. They're faster. They're quicker. The guys are bigger and stronger. And, you know, you get hit by somebody, the guy's much stronger than he was. I mean, it's just a number of variables that come into play, but certainly right. To blame the staff for it it's wrong. Now, in the case of KD, could they have made a mistake? Yes, they possibly could have made a mistake. I mean, everybody makes mistakes at times. But I'm sure that if KD didn't feel like he was ready to go back and play, why would he go out and do that? I don't think he would go out and play if he didn't feel like he was ready to do it.
Yeah, and he hasn't blamed the medical staff at all, which was – I give him credit for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of Twitter, do you mind if we change subjects here? I have another Twitter question for you.
You can change whatever you like to do. Throw whatever you want to throw out at me.
So I had another person tweet at us with an interesting question. Your former teammate, Jim Barnett, who was for decades, was the color commentator for the Warriors on TV. This last offseason, he was replaced by Kalani Azubuike, who I personally like. But a lot of people are wondering, was your former teammate Jim Barnett forced out? And what's your take on that?
You know, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to talk to Jim about it. He thought he was going to be out a few years back and everything, and he managed to stay in there and do it, and he has done it for quite a few years. I don't know. Only the Warriors could answer that question as to why they decided to make the change. And I haven't had, I haven't heard Azubuike as to the quality of a broadcast that he is able to go ahead and bring to the table. I haven't really listened to him to be able to try to evaluate him, but obviously, the Warriors are entitled to make whatever decisions they want to make, and they chose to make that one. And I'm sure Jim is very disappointed. It's tough to all of a sudden lose a job that you've had for a long time that you're counting on, especially when you get paid, you know, really good money to talk about the game that you love. And Jim did a very nice job for him.
So I guess the reason why a lot of people are speculating that he was forced out, or at least there's questions being raised about this whole situation, is that he went from being the primary color commentator for decades, right? And yeah. All of a sudden now they go into this new arena and you're seeing a lot of change and overhaul with the team, and they kept him on, but just for road radio games. And I think a lot of fans like love Jim, and they're thinking that he got slighted for this. I mean, if you were in his position and the team suddenly came to you and said, "Hey, we only want you to do road radio games now," would you go along with that? I mean, would you feel disrespected?
Well, you might feel disrespected and disappointed, but I don't think you're going to turn it down. You're still getting a paycheck.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's not like Jim made multi-millions of dollars and heard the word million in his contract negotiations. And so it's pretty tough to turn it down, and you have to accept it. I know my son John was disappointed, I'm sure, that he got taken off of the TV aspect and started doing some radio things. But I mean, you have a contract. It's the choice of your bosses. Mm-hmm. To make the decision as to how they want to utilize you, and you don't really have a choice in the matter. So you either accept it or you don't have a job.
How does that's a great thing you brought up. I haven't seen John in a while, and he used to be a very prominent color commentator for national games for ESPN. You used to be a very prominent color commentator, or maybe they even had you do play-by-play every once in a while back in the 80s. How does that go down? Like, do they call you in to tell you this? Is it very informal?
Not necessarily. In fact, one time when I was doing stuff with CBS, I had a writer call me one time, and I was actually during the playoffs doing mm-hmm. the thing. What do you think about the fact you're not going to be back at CBS next year? I said, really?
That's how you learn.
Some convention, and Van Gordon Sorter, who was the head of sports, who was just going to be there temporarily, knew he was going into news. And I found out later that he didn't. He hated me as a player because he was a big fan of the Chicago Bulls, I think it was. And when he first came in to do the sports, he wanted to get rid of me immediately without didn't have had nothing to do with whether I was any good or not as a broadcaster. I mean, it was such BS, but I mean, that's life though. I mean, life is not what you know, but who you know, being in the right place at the right time, having somebody that championed you. Bob Wessler, another guy, was the guy that championed me. And where I screwed up, Cyrus, is that I didn't ask Bob when he was leaving Turner Broadcasting to say, hey, listen, Bob, before you go, can you extend my contract for me so that I know I'm going to be here for a while. And I talked to him after it was all over, and I wound up losing my job, you know, in a whole crazy situation that I don't need to get into right now. Maybe save it all for my book or whatever. But but I got screwed out of my job. I mean, totally screwed. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have any say in what it was. And it's ridiculous. But that's the kind of stuff that happens in that business.
Yeah.
And it's life in general. That's what life is all about. Not what you know, who you know, all the things I just said.
In so many ways.
You learn to deal. And here's the thing. You deal with it because, okay, you might be upset about it, but if you can't change it, you do what you can to try to change it or rectify it. If it can't be done, if it makes you sad, cry, get over it, move on. You can't live in the past. You just have to make the most of the situations that you're in, the hands that you're dealt, as they say, to use the cliche. You got to play the hands, you know, the hand that you're dealt. That's what it is. And like, I guess like Kenny Rogers, right? You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them.
When to fold them. Yep. It's such simple life advice.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's not very complicated. The problem is people sit around and feel sorry for themselves so often.
Yep.
You know, good things are going to happen in your life. Bad things are going to happen. You can't just be somebody that deals really well with the good things and you fall to pieces when the bad things happen. I've had a lot of bad things happen to me and I've gotten through it because you know why? I just don't dwell on it because I can't change it. And so I can't allow it to impact what I'm going to do next because it becomes negative energy.
I'm with you.
So that's why you've got to be a positive person. You got to look forward, look to the next thing and understand and live. I live by this. Everything in life, everything in life happens for a reason. As I said, I've said it so often. My son Scooter actually gave me a present from he and the kids, my grandkids one time. And it's a nice sign I have actually hanging in my bedroom. It says everything in life happens for a reason. And it's the truth. It really is the truth. And so
no, you're right. Deal
with it.
And the best way to clarify or confirm that is the fact that when bad things happen to you, when crazy things happen to you in life, and it seems nonsensical at that moment, which it does, right? If something bad is going on, it's not making sense to you at that time. You're probably asking why, right?
Yeah, 3 years later, you can't figure out sometimes why in the hell is this happening to me?
Yes, but
you know it makes no sense whatsoever. And then you might learn the next day. It might be the next week. It might be the next month. It might be the next year. It might be years later. You will learn the reason why it happened because something's going to happen in your life that you look back and say, oh my God, now I know why that happened.
Exactly. That was my whole point, is that at some point it will make sense. And at that point, you'll understand the purpose of that event happening. What's John?
I want to ask you. I got to ask you though, before. Well, John's still doing the radio stuff and all.
Oh, good, good. Okay.
So what's happening? Have you watched the game and have you watched the players on the bench like we talked about?
Yes.
At a timeout.
So So Rick, you brought up a great thing a few podcasts back that the players on the sideline or, you know, during timeouts, oftentimes instead of paying attention to the coach, have their eyes wandering into the crowd. And yes, I've looked and I've seen it, and those eyes are scanning. They're seeing who's out there.
They're paying no attention to the coach.
It's great. Especially, well, I haven't seen it much with the Warriors. And I do respect the coach. I feel like the Warriors players respect that coaching staff. And I don't see much of the Warriors. I've seen it more with the Rockets. I saw it with the Clippers. And whoever the Warriors just recently played, I can't remember who their opponent was, but I saw it with their opponent as well. But yeah, it happens. It's crazy.
No, it happens a lot.
Yeah, it's insane. By the way, Rick, do you follow the media game? Like, do you follow the weird inside stuff going on with, you know, broadcasters, journalists, that kind of stuff? Does that interest you at all? Like, do you pay attention to that?
Well, let me see. Maybe I can answer it by saying when I actually do have a game that I don't usually watch live, that I usually record and then watch afterwards so that I can get through it faster, I generally don't have the sound on. Does that answer your question?
Yes, to a certain degree it does.
But then the other stuff, sometimes I'll listen just to see what's being said. And I can only take so much of it because I don't understand what they're talking about sometimes or what game they're watching, because I think they're watching a different game than what I'm watching at times. Mm-hmm. They talk about things that are so obvious that I don't even think they need to be discussed. A lot of masters of the obvious out there. And I really think that they miss a lot of things that need to be talked about. I mean, and I see that on a regular basis. And I just kind of shake my head in astonishment and say, you know, what are you watching? Obviously, you're not watching it the same way I'm watching it.
Right.
And then the guys on the TV, I mean, the guys that aren't former players and things of that nature, who are what I like to call, refer to as the talking heads, who are out there, who are experts in every single facet of sports imaginable, who know more than anybody else, know more than the coaches, actually get coaches fired sometimes, which is remarkable to me.
Agreed.
That people actually listen to their opinion and let their opinion impact what they decide to do with their personnel or their coaches. I mean, that's crazy. Crazy. And then I lose a lot of respect for any guy who's doing broadcasting that's out there trying to get somebody fired.
It is
not
crazy.
His job. That's not his job. His job is to report on something. You can give an opinion, but for you to be out there campaigning or something, this guy has no business coaching. He's horrible, blah, blah, blah. Oh man. I don't respect that very much at all.
Yeah. It is a weird facet of sports media for sure. Is the fact that you're right. They're malicious. It is insane negativity directed towards specific individuals. In this case, I was referring more to interesting politicking, I guess. We were talking about Jim Barnett, your former teammate, a moment ago, how he's basically been possibly pushed out to now he's just doing like road radio games. Well, the person doing the home radio games is Tom Tolbert, another former Warrior. I don't know what your relationship is with him, but it's fascinating to me that the Warriors are on 95.7 The Game. That is their official flagship radio station. But Tom Tolbert is a radio host on our former KNBR. And I'm positive that drives KNBR brass crazy. And I was just wondering what your opinion was on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing. Obviously, Tom is known in the Bay Area. He's been doing sports on KNBR for many, many years. Sports talk show on the radio.
Yeah.
No, it's an interesting scenario that exists in the world of sports, in the world of broadcasting, that you can't really put your finger on as to rhyme the reason as to why certain things happen. But Tom's fortunate. He's got another job. He doesn't have to go on the road. He gets to do the game, stay at home, make some extra money, get to talk about the game that he loves. And Tom is very good at what he does. So, you know, good luck to him. And I feel badly for my old teammate, Jim Barnett. But that's life. I mean, that's just... Yep. That's the way that it goes. I mean, I had situations, you know, that where I had opportunities to do some things, you know, wound up turning them down. I turned them down, and then I wound up losing my job at freaking Turner for working for them after I turned the job down with the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, it's like, what the heck is going on? I mean,
that's brutal, Rick.
It's okay. I mean, everybody should have the problems I've had in life.
I still laugh at the Pacer. The fact that the 1 year you get a Finals MVP, they give you a Pacer instead of a
Corvette.
That's
just bad luck. I mean, you just change the freaking sponsor, you know? AMC as opposed to Chevrolet. I mean, it's like, wow. That was kind of something. So let's take a look at some of the things that are going on here. As I told you about the consistency thing, right? So you look at some of the things in previous games, and one of the guys that we talked about that we thought was doing a really nice job was Damian Lee, right? Who had played okay. And then all of a sudden, the last three games, what does he go? He gets 2 points, right? 2 points in one game, two rebounds, two assists. Then in the next game, he's got 5 points, but he gets 7 rebounds, which is great, 2 assists. Next game, it's 8 points with no rebounds and no assists. So, I mean, if you're going to be a guy coming off the bench doing something, I mean, 2, 5, 8, that's consistently inconsistent, okay? So this is the point that you have to make. And I like him as a player. I mean, but you got to find a way to just be more freaking consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the problem that we're having. And then you look at some of the other players that we talked about. You know, remember you were talking about, everybody's talking about, you know, maybe, you know, like rookie of the year or top, you know, one of the top rookies.
Oh, Eric Pascal, yes.
Okay, so Eric Pascal. So where does he go? He goes, you know, he gets 12 points in one game with 1 rebound and 1 assist against Minnesota.
He's regressed. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, and then he gets only – and then Utah less. The other one, I don't even know. He might not have played in that one. I don't – but anyway.
He sat that one out. Yeah, you're correct. He missed one game for that.
He missed a game for the Oklahoma City game. And then he plays Utah. He gets you know, 6 rebounds, just nice, but only 8 points. And so here's a guy that got you 30, and now he gets you 8. Wouldn't you rather have him get you 15 in both games?
Absolutely. And I'm definitely souring a bit on the Warriors right now for the simple reason, you're right, consistency is the variable that determines greatness in athletics, right? And if you're not going to be consistent every night, you need to be at least a solid role player in some regard. D'Angelo Russell is showing consistency, but they're not winning. What's your take on him? Like, do you see him long-term with this team, or are they going
to
trade him?
Well, we've talked about that. I mean, I think he's great trade bait for them, depending where they want to go. Do you want to have a team that's going to have three small, you know, three be small?
No.
With D'Angelo and Steph and Clay playing in the in their front, you know, their outside players. I mean, you got three guys who can shoot and score and everything, but Russell is the kind of guy that's showing where he can do when he has the ball in his hand. He's doing a lot of pick and roll stuff. It's not the pass, cut, move stuff like the Warriors excelled in for over the last 5 years. When they got in trouble is when they did too much of the one-on-one stuff, but a lot of his stuff is one-on-one. But he's a heck of a player. And, you know, he's got to get better, you know, individual defense and understand team defense, which the entire team has to do because we're still harping on that all the time. Like I said, I'm going to continue to do that. I mean, teams still shoot 49, 50% against them. They give up 120 points a game. Yet you're just not going to win a lot of basketball games with that type of defense. It's just not going to happen.
It's impossible. It is. Yeah, there's no way you're going to win.
So, and we'll see what happens in their game. And we're broadcasting this one or recording this one when they're going to be playing against the Lakers, who will be shorthanded if Davis doesn't play. So this is an opportunity for him. And they had a rest, and it's back-to-back for the Lakers. So this is a nice opportunity for them to do. And unfortunately, they're out on the road. But if they play the way they've been playing lately, they're still going to have a hard time winning. So we'll see how that plays itself out.
Yeah, but they haven't been consistent. They've regressed.
That's it. I mean, it's up and down. You don't know who's going to do it, who's not going to do it. I mean, the only guy that's been consistent with his offense and all, as obviously, has been Russell.
You know, Alec Burks shown some signs.
Burks too. Burks has probably done a better job than anybody lately. I mean, very good, actually. He's the one guy that's been rather consistent. He's had double figures in every game in the last three games. You know, 18 and 9 rebounds and 23 and 5, but then he goes 10 and 1.
Yeah.
I mean, you it's the 5 rebounds to 1 rebound. You know, like I say, wouldn't you rather have the guy get you 6 every time? I mean, and then, you know, 23-18 and then down to 10. I mean, that can happen. You can have one of those games. Even LeBron had a bad game the other day that cost him a victory against Toronto when he just had a bad offensive game. And so what's going to happen, obviously, if it can happen to LeBron James, it's going to happen to anybody, and it'll happen to all players. Some players it happens more often than others. So But he's the one guy now that you want to talk about guys playing more consistent. That would be the one guy that's doing it. But the problem that you have, it just gets back to what we talk about so often, Cyrus, with the Warriors, is that you're trying to find guys who you can put in the starting lineup to play consistently. But then you also got to have guys that come off the bench to do it. So you need a whole, you know, you need 7-8 guys that can do that.
Yeah. And they don't have that. And
no.
They don't have that. No. Rick, can I put you on the shot clock?
Yeah, you know, you do this with the shot clock, so it's kind of fun. So we'll see, because you always try to throw me we'll use the baseball term, a curveball.
Yes.
You know, and I'm going to have to try not to double dribble on this one.
So, I need to get a rim shot sound effect for you.
Yeah, fire away at me.
All right, so 24 seconds to answer this question. I'll lob you a softball for this first or second one.
No, I don't want any softballs.
You don't want a softball?
No, it's just like when I played anything I do in life competitively and stuff, whether it's broadcasting, athletics, or whatever. I played Marty Hogan, the greatest racquetball player in the world.
Okay.
And so he was an amazing player. And I said, in an exhibition, I said, look, Marty, please play your best, because I'm going to brag about whatever I do. So he played his best. I got 1 point, and I was happy to get the 1 point, but I'd rather only get 1 point against the greatest player in his sport than to go and have him be nice to me and let me get 2 or 3 points. I don't need that. You know, I don't need that. Embarrass me.
You want the heat?
Yeah, I want it all. I want your best shot.
All right. Well, the clock's ticking. Who are the 5 greatest shooters in NBA history?
Oh, well, now we got to talk to think about it. I mean, you go back down, Jerry West was probably there. There's a guy named Bud Cooper that you probably never heard about that was incredible. Certainly some people would probably throw Reggie into the equation. But as far as shooting outside and doing stuff, Kyle Korver has to get thrown into it. Steph Curry, another guy that you got to throw into the equation, and Klay Thompson. So that would be some guys I'd just throw out there.
Sounds good. That was a good list. Excellent. What about NBT Squared? Are you ready for some of that? How about some truth bombs?
Oh, well, the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the Warriors, that...
Do you want to hear Jack first?
Yeah, that's true. I shouldn't say it without, because I love this. I tell people all the time, I just love, this is like one of the great lines of movies of all time.
Agreed.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
I love Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men, you know, Tom Cruise. That's like one of the great lines of all time. And it's such a truth, though. That in itself is the truth. Most people can't handle the truth. They really, truly can't. And so this is why we're always trying to come out and throw the truth out there. And if you can't handle it, that's your problem, not Cyrus's or mine. and you know, that's just kind of the way it is. The truth of the matter is that in this situation with the NBA, that the players today, I think, don't appreciate how good they have it. That's the absolute positive truth. I really don't think that so many of them don't truly appreciate it, just how fortunate they are to be treated the way they are, to be paid the way they are. Now, some of them do, but I think a great many of them really believe that they're entitled to this, and they don't have the appreciation that I think is important. It's one of the things that I find in most people. I think you do things in life. I know I've done things in life because I want to do them, because I feel good about doing them. And all I ask for, I don't want anything particular in return for it, something of monetary value or physical value or whatever it may be, material value. I just want to know that the person that I did something for appreciates what I did. Mm-hmm. You just want to have appreciation. And I don't know how many players truly appreciate just how fortunate they are to be in the situation that they're in. For those that do, and I'm not saying it's all of them, for those that do, God bless you. My hat goes off to you. For those that don't, do some soul searching and maybe find a little more appreciation.
I'm with you. I think one example of someone who does would be Kai Bowman, the backup point guard for the Warriors, two-way player. There's a story about him in the Chronicle about how he barely is above the threshold for qualifying for low-income housing in San Francisco. Could you believe that?
Wow.
Pro basketball player. I would say he's probably one person that is not taking it for granted. But you're right. I think there are a lot of players that do.
Yeah, I think a lot of them do, and a lot of them do some wonderful things with the money that they have that unfortunately winds up, if it's in the paper at all, on page 36 as opposed to the front page of the sports page. And that's the sad part, too. But anyway, so let's just hope that some of these players will appreciate that a little bit more, because they are very, very fortunate indeed. I felt fortunate. I used to laugh when I got a check, say, this is unfreaking believable. I'm getting paid to play basketball. Seriously. I mean, I couldn't believe, I thought I died and went to heaven.
Because you did.
Paid to play basketball. Yeah, but yeah, I just wish I had those extra three zeros, because then I'd be in great shape and I can really do the fishing. I just got something from my dear friend Clifford Ray, my teammate, right? Starting center in our championship team. We're kind of like brothers. He's so much into this, and this is my passion now. Fishing is my drug of choice. I don't party every night. I don't get washed, and I don't pop bottles. I go fishing. I cast as many times as possible, and then I cast once more. I read fishing magazines, look at lures, and organize my tackle late nights. Will never compare to hitting the water first thing in the morning. You can have the nightlife. I'll take the fresh air, the beauty of the outdoors, and the thrill of a screaming reel.
You've become a legendary fisherman. You go up to Alaska.
Nah,
I think,
not
year,
legendary.
Right?
I really enjoy it, because fly fishing is what I'm really into. I mean, spin casting, bait casting is nice and all, but fly fishing really is an art form. It's a skill that you have to really learn. And I'm far from being an expert at it. And I mean, some guys are so good, but I get pointers from all the guides when I go out, tell me something, show me something. And the better I get at it, and I've gotten at it, the more fish I hook into, because it requires the proper presentation. It requires be able to cast and get it to where you need to get it. It requires not getting your line, if you don't know what you're doing, hooked in the tree behind you or the bush behind you. You got to learn different casts and different styles. And so it's a challenge. It's not just sitting there holding onto a rod and hoping that a fish bites it and you just let the line sit there in the water. It's an active participation sport, and it's so much fun. And you're out there and with, you know, God and the beauty of what he's created in some of these remote areas, especially. That's why I love going up into Alaska, and there's a lot of other beautiful places in this country. And I'm working really hard on hoping to get something together where I may be able to be doing a fly fishing show. We'll see what happens. I'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah.
That would be like the second best. Well, the best right up there with getting to play basketball and getting paid. Can you imagine if I were able to go and do a show and not have to pay to go to the places I go and be able to fish and actually make a couple of dollars?
Oh, yeah, my God. They pay you.
I mean, it'd be unbelievable.
So, oh, what is it, like a Nat Geo? Or I'm curious what channel would.
No, I'm talking to some people. I'm not at liberty to discuss what it is, but it would be really cool. And I have a concept and a format that I'm not going to give out because somebody else might steal it. that would be pretty cool. And it would be a different type of a show. Anyway, I don't want to give too much away, but anyway, just another things. We got other things to talk about in the world, the basketball and
oh, yeah.
What the heck is going on. So let's,
I think people want to hear about you too. I mean, you're a star, man. You're a legend. What do you like better, fishing or golf?
Well, I've never really liked golf.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I mean, I'm talking about as far as a passion.
Right, right.
I mean, the game is good. It's the most difficult, challenging thing I've ever tried to do in sports because you never can master it. I asked Jack Nicklaus a few months ago. I was with Jack and said, Jack, can you ever master golf? I'm telling people it's the hardest sport I've ever played and you can never master it. And it's so frustrating because I'm a perfectionist. And golf is a game of mistakes and you just got to minimize your mistakes. And it's the quality of your misses. And I always joke and I said, yeah, well, the quality of your misses, and I have a great missus. She's an amazing lady. But golf is so hard. I mean, I got to be a one handicap. And the better I got, the more frustrated I got.
Because
the best, the thing is you have to work so hard at maintaining a one to practice and keep it at that level.
Right.
And then when you think you've got it, it'll jump up and bite you in the butt. Because you just can't master it. Just look at what's happened to so many of the great players. Look what happened to Tiger Woods. Look what happened. David Duval, one in the world, disappeared for years.
Oh, I know.
Gone. I mean, it happens. So, it's so difficult. Raymond Floyd, good friend Jerry Pate, and so many of the pro golfers that I know, and well, those guys I fish with. But, I mean, I talk to them about it all the time. And it's such a difficult sport. It's so hard. There's so many variables involved that you can't totally control. And there's absolutely zero reactionary to it. Zero. That little silly white little ball is sitting there. It's not moving. And you have to learn how to control that thing and do so many different things with it and take into account all of the variables, the wind situation, what's happening with the wind. Where is, I mean, the lie, what kind of lie do you have? I mean, then, you know, the pin and then the brakes on the green. I mean, there's so many things involved in the game of golf. It is extremely, extremely difficult. Too much to be really fun for me. The challenge is incredible. But to say it's really fun, no. No. It's, I mean, funny. I love it. It's one of the greatest business games ever. And, you know, enjoy going out with people. And there's some great courses and beauty to be seen. But it is so demanding.
Yeah, I think it's fun if you have a good day.
Well, it's fun if you have the right attitude. But I'm a perfectionist. And I always want to do my best. And I know what I'm capable of doing. If I can't go out and do it at that level, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And okay, same in basketball. You think I'm happy if I'm out there and I'm going 2-for-14?
No.
Like I did in the seventh game of the Western Conference. I'm killing myself inside. No. I hated not being playing at the top of my game and being really good at what I do. I had great pride in what I do.
As you should. Yeah, I always compare the learning curve of surfing to golf. Those are the two hardest sports.
I tried surfing, but you'll get a kick out of this one. So surfing on my honeymoon, I'm over in Hawaii, and I'm trying to go out there and do it, and I'm just killing myself and trying to get up and being tall. And so this guy, I come in, and the guys, I see him, they're kind of laughing. I said, why are you guys laughing? He said, Mond, he said, that board, you see, Candy, yeah, but that's no good for you. He said, there's no way. That board's too small.
Oh, yeah.
Now they have smaller boards, but they have great buoyancy and stuff.
Yes.
I said, well, great. So I'm out there killing myself, and they're just having a good time laughing at me. But I didn't have the kind of balance. I mean, surfing is not the thing for a tall person.
Well, but Brent's tall. He's doing good, right? I agree. It's harder. Your center of gravity.
It's much more difficult to be able to be. I'm talking about world class. I've met some surfers and stuff. And I haven't met any that I looked eye to eye to.
Yeah, that's true. It is harder when you're taller. That is true.
Yeah, well, even that, and even the same thing with all the other. What is it? Well, then they've got kite surfing, and then they're doing that, and then what's the other one you do when you stand with the sailboarding? I guess when you got the sail on the board, you stand up.
Windsurfing.
Windsurfing. Yeah, very tough. That's tough for me.
Yeah, I don't touch that either. Are you ready to share with the world what's driving you crazy?
Yeah, after you though, I always like you to go first.
Fair enough. Let me play the music. Hopefully you can hear it. Did you hear that?
No, I don't.
Oh, what is, I got to figure something out here. Well, I played the music, so hopefully everyone else heard it too. What drives me crazy this week, Rick, the Warriors, we're recording this on November 13th. The Warriors are playing the Lakers tonight. What drives me crazy, have you ever heard the term brawn sexual?
No.
So Bron sexual is a term that is applicable to those who irrationally love LeBron James. I don't doubt he's one of the greatest players ever. I think you could easily make the case he's top 10 all time, maybe even top five. He's not Michael Jordan. He's nowhere near Michael Jordan. But a lot of people, and we call them Bron sexuals, irrationally support that man. I don't know why, but they think he's better than Michael Jordan. And anyone that does drives me bat S-bomb crazy.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. You're getting into the area that I talk about, is that you can't compare people who are different players and positions. LeBron is basically a three.
Right.
Okay. He's inherently a three who could play the two, who also can play the point some, but he's really a three. So if you want to compare him to Larry Bird. Don't compare him to Michael Jordan. I mean, compare him to the person, you know, the players that he played in that position with.
Right.
And so, you know, I still think that, you know, Michael is the quintessential two for what he's done in his career. And I have to say right now, I think that, you know, LeBron is, you know, is the three.
Yeah.
I mean, so and when people, oh, he's the greatest player. I keep hearing these guys. That's another one. Okay. So I can come up with that one. I can even change what I was going to say right now. What drives me crazy, since you brought that up, what drives me crazy is announcers on television all talking about who's the greatest player in the game today. There's no such thing as the greatest player in a team sport. There's the greatest player at his position. Flat out, period. End of story.
What would you say
to compare? You don't compare, you know, LeBron James to Wilt Chamberlain. You don't compare him to Larry Bird. I mean, to Michael Jordan. You don't compare him to Magic Johnson. Compare players from their own position, and they're the best at their position. There's no such thing as the greatest player in basketball. It's the greatest player at his position, because there are subtle differences between how you play the game depending upon the position that you're playing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, the contrarian might counter that by saying that in today's NBA, it's relatively positionless. What would you say to that person?
That's not necessarily true. It's just a matter of how the position is being played today. So you would compare guys to the way that it's being played today. The fours are going outside a lot more. And hell, even the centers are going outside sometimes now and shooting. So it's a different way the game's played in that regard. And yes, a lot of times you got people and they're playing five out and they're playing small ball. And so but you don't have a center necessarily playing. You have a guy who's a four playing outside because he's capable of doing it. And a lot of times, let's just take a look. I mean, you basically, Draymond is kind of like a three, small four, but a three. Size wise, he's a three, but he could play. He plays some four because he's strong and he can do other things. But so that's how you compare him. You compare him to the position that they're playing and how they're playing that position based upon the skills of that position. So you can't. I mean, it's just not the same. Twos and threes are probably the closest. Twos and threes.
Yeah.
But generally, the two would still be more a perimeter. The three would be a guy who could be his perimeter, but also can go and get to the basket and do stuff inside as well. And ideally, you'd want a four who can go inside and out.
Gotcha.
I mean, a guy like I always never could understand why Dirk Nowitzki didn't ever develop an inside game.
Oh, I know. He would have been unstoppable. He would have been completely unstoppable. That would explain why Kevin Durant is so dominant, right?
Yeah, because he started going in and doing some of the stuff inside and using your size, and you can always get your shot off. Why would you not do that and just abuse the other team when they're guarding you with a guy that comes up to your freaking shoulders? I mean, how many times? Well, but that's another one that'll say I can use that as another drive me crazy.
save it for next week. Yeah, save
I'm saving that one. So anyway, yeah, that's what drives me crazy. Stop comparing and saying who's the best. It's like in baseball. Oh, he's the best player in baseball today. No, he's the best at his position.
Yeah.
You're going to talk about Trout, and you're going to compare Trout to a first baseman, or you're going to compare Trout to a second baseman or a third shortstop or a catcher? No. You can't.
Yeah. Compare him with fellow outfielders.
Compare him with the position where he plays.
Yeah.
Even playing – because I played baseball as a better baseball player. Left field, center field, right field are played differently. Especially center field. You play that position differently. They're saying that, you know, a lot of the skills are required and all, but you still play it, and you have to play a little differently because of location on the field and what you – so compare them to their positions. That's all I say.
I'm with you. I agree. All right, Rick, it's always a pleasure, sir. You're in Florida right now, aren't you? You're traveling, right?
No, I was just down doing some stuff. I went to my alma mater. It was fun to see some of the people down there, my old teammate Wayne Buechner and – Kenny Allen, who was a senior when I was a freshman, and some of the other guys from other teams that played, after me. Nice. But it was nice to go down there, see their facilities. It's just, Wayne and I just shook our heads when we see the facilities that these guys have compared to what we had. Talking about it to the other guys, and they're going, really? Really? I said, yeah, really. I mean, the players today have no idea how fortunate they are, seriously. But, you know, I wouldn't change any of it for the world. Would I like to have this? Yeah, sure, I'd like to have it. I just talked about the San Antonio Spurs when I visited Brent. I mean, you got a thumbprint, your fingerprint to get yourself into their enclosed, you know, facility that you're going into a compound, and you can go there, you can get breakfast, and you get lunch afterwards, and you have all of this incredible stuff they have, and the special drinks before or after. I mean, it's amazing. And I heard, because I didn't get a chance to get the total tour of the Chase Center when I was out, and I wish I had. I'm disappointed that I didn't, but hopefully I'll get out there again sometime to see it. But Clifford was just out there, and he actually was doing some work with the Santa Cruz team, with the G League team. And he said, wow. He said it was unbelievable, the facilities that they have for the players in the Chase Center. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what that is. So hopefully the players will appreciate it.
I hope so,
as we had discussed, as one of our topics of discussion today. But everybody have a good week. I'm actually heading out to do a Basketball Hall of Fame golf event down in Southern California, and then come back to California here and get back and hopefully get out and get some more pickleball in, because I love playing pickleball. And nice. I'm hoping I can find somebody that's, you know, another old guy to join up, who's a good player and maybe play in some tournaments in our age group and win national championships. So that's something that I'm thinking about trying to do.
Beautiful.
So it's good. It. Anyway, life is great. Hope everybody enjoys the next week until we meet again. And let's hope that the Warriors can find a way to get a little bit more consistent, get a couple of wins. And I really do hope that we stop having to talk about so many of the injuries that are happening to these players.
Yes.
I hate to see anybody get injured, because this is your livelihood. And I know that these guys love playing and all. And it's tough to not be able to do what you love to do. So God bless everybody. Have a great week. Cyrus, always good to talk to you. And
likewise.
Talk to you next time, folks.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.